Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
In this episode of Friends with Money, I'm joined by Jeremy Fleming, founder and CEO of Stage Kings, a company that specializes in making sets for theatre, sporting events, and concerts. Last year, his business was devastated by the lockdowns, but he managed to successfully pivot to make office furniture and famously the ISO desks, which grew into a viable long-term part of the Stage Kings business. Welcome, Jeremy, and thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Julia. Great to chat again.
Jeremy, last year when Australia experienced its first lockdown, you were in Melbourne putting up the stages for the Grand Prix, which was subsequently cancelled. You got back to Sydney, you stood down staff, and then you thought of a pivot and hired them all back. Can you please tell us what the lockdown experience was like in 2020 for Stage Kings?
Yeah, firstly, on Friday the 13th of March, when they did announce that lockdown, it was a real downer. Didn't know what we could do, and luckily we did come up with this idea to make work from home office furniture pretty quickly. So it was a real up and down time, but once we were able to pull everyone back in and started manufacturing and actually scaled up with an additional 70 people by the time we got right into it, it was a real positive place to be. A lot of people really enjoyed the experience of being able to still come in and manufacture and actually be working. So it was quite a positive year for us.
And then late last year, all the states except for Victoria seemed to be out of the woods with live events coming back on. How did you structure your business to get back into what was originally your core business but maintain what had also become a successful side business?
Yeah, the big thing we learned was that we couldn't rely on one pillar of income. And so once events started to come back, and they came back in a smaller kind of way, there was still no international tours. The events would be scheduled and then had to cancel last minute because of these shutting of borders at the drop of a hat. So really we structured it so that we could do the furniture continued on as its own brand with the ISO King brand. Stage Kings was then ready to go with events, and we did some great events as well, like the Maya Music Bowl in Melbourne. We built all the pods down there for that one, and then a lot of television came back, and we also created these new parts of the business by making furniture. We got into doing commercial fit outs and hospitality fit outs, and really adding those pillars to the business, and that's what's allowed us to get through.
And so how's the Sydney lockdown part two affected you and your staff?
It was a bit of a blow to start with because we were in the middle of some great projects, and with the construction ban particularly, that meant that the construction arm, we've had to push pause on that. Saying that, the furniture has picked up again. So we've been able to shuffle some more people back into the furniture. So we're running at almost capacity with staff. There's a few people waiting for this construction ban to come off, hopefully next week. We're all still quite positive.
So does pivoting from one to the other get easier or harder as we go on?
I think it's actually got easier. I think once you realise you can do it and that all you've really got to do is have a go at something, there's no big barrier for us now to pivot and try new things, and we've continued to do that. We started with the furniture, and then now we've actually started a signage company as well that's in-house, and we're also setting up a steel fabrication workshop at the moment too. So we're looking at all these different vertical integration into the Stage Kings business and how we can weather the storms.
So can you tell us a bit about the background of Stage Kings and how you came about, and, you know, at what point were you at in the business when everything sort of happened last year and you became the face of pivot for business?
Yeah, sure. I started Stage Kings 6 years ago now, 2015, with the aim of building decorated structures like you see throughout Europe and America, and So not just these big steel stages that you see everywhere, but more decoration and more of an experience around going to see these events. And we built some amazing structures, like we built the Ninja Warrior set each year. We built the Edinburgh Castle for Edinburgh Military Tattoo and Shakespeare's Pop-Up Globe Theatre. Some really great, really quite large scale structures. And we became known as the go-to company for building these large structures. And so we were going really well at the end of 2019 and into early 2020. And like you mentioned, we were building the set piece for the Grand Prix, the Robbie Williams and Miley Cyrus concert down in Melbourne, and Ninja Warrior when the ban was put in place on Friday the 13th of March. We were going well, and that was quite a shock.
And so what would you say have been the biggest lessons for a business owner during the past 18 months or so?
The biggest lesson for me was about those having different sources of income, income pillars. And so to have all of our eggs in the event basket, we were building stages for events and that was it. And then when events are shut down, there's no income. We lost millions of dollars overnight when that ban was put in place. And so now we've really built the company into more sustainable kind of sources of income. So we've got the staging that we do. We're building a lot, like I mentioned, the fit outs for shopping centres, for retail and commercial and hospitality, as well as the furniture, as well as the signage company, and the rental for film and television is a big thing for us as well.
It must have been difficult. Like, you must have thought when we went into lockdown, you were already diversified. You were doing, you know, probably musicals, and you were doing television, and you were doing sporting events and so on. That would have seemed like you'd diversified your business already, but as it turned out, not so much.
Yeah, look, that they are very different kinds of events, but they all still fall under that event umbrella. And so when that was all banned, that was pretty tough. For sport has come back more so than others, which is quite a thorn in a lot of event people's sides. But you know, as long as something's happening, for us, luckily also we're in that film and television world, and that did come back much quicker, and is actually a very big part of the business now.
And I'm a big theatre goer myself, and I noticed actually since theatre came back in the last few months, the sets have been more impressive. It's like people have had more time to work and think of what they were going to do. Would you say that's right?
Yeah, I think so. And that's right. There's been some amazing shows come back, and I think people are trying to really come back with a bang. And the likes of Hamilton and those sorts of shows are just fantastic.
And I know from talking to you before that you've been very sympathetic to all the artists who have lost business during lockdowns and so on, and you were raising money through your business to help. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we, from the very start of the idea of making desks and work from home office furniture, we wanted to donate $10 to Support Act, and that's the organisation looking after the arts industry, really, musicians and artists and also crew. So they have these crisis relief grants that people can get them to pay their bills or pay for their groceries, and they're doing an amazing job. It's a really the arts industry is a difficult one because there's so many freelancers and people very easily fall through the government safety net. So we really wanted to do what we could there, and we donated $10 from every desk sale throughout the first lockdown. And in by our first anniversary, we donated $90,000 to Support Act. And as well as that, though, the additional people we got on board were out of work event workers, and we were just trying to do what we could to support that industry. And ongoing now, we're donating 1% of all of our furniture sales to Support Act.
Fantastic. All right, now I've got some hot seat questions for you, all about money.
Let's go.
All right. What was your first job?
My first job was working in our family mini labs, and we owned two photo processing shops, mini labs, when I was doing high school. So from year seven, I was behind the counter in those and developing film.
I suppose that's a good start of finding a business that has to pivot when things change too.
Absolutely, yeah, there's not too many left.
What's the best money advice you've ever received?
I think the best one is don't spend money you haven't earned. And I didn't always use that as a younger guy, but it was a great piece of advice.
So does that mean not using a credit card and not going into debt?
Yeah, try to avoid that debt. If you haven't earned the money, don't spend it.
And what's the best investment decision you've made?
The best was really our first apartment that we bought, my wife Tabitha and I, back in Randwick, actually. And she showed me and said, I think we should buy this apartment. And I thought, God, who would spend over $400,000 on a two-bedroom apartment in 3 kilometres from the city centre? Luckily for me, we went with that. And 6 years later, it turned out to be quite an amazing investment.
Great. What's the worst investment decision you've made?
I think my wife would say I bought a Chopper Reed signed photograph at my Bucks night many, many years ago. And I bought it home and I paid way too much money for it, and it was never allowed to leave the laundry. So that's probably the worst.
What's your favourite thing to splurge on?
I love going out for dinners. It's going to good restaurants all around. Wherever we go, we like to go to a nice restaurant. So that's probably the biggest splurge. That or boat fuel.
The boat's not a splurge.
Yeah, it's quite a splurge.
If you had $10,000 right now, where would you invest it?
I always tell Tabitha if we won the lottery, I'd buy more scaffold. So I think if I had $10,000, I'd probably buy a bit more scaffold or trust.
And what would you do if you only had $50 left in the bank?
If that's all I had, I'd probably go to as many open home inspections on waterfront properties as I could. I really like to go and see how people actually have money, and it gives me a lot of inspiration. So I think if I only had $50, I'd be trying to get as much inspiration as I could and going to these open homes. Someone has to live there.
What a fantastic idea. Do you intend to leave an inheritance?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Well, look, I think it'd be great to help the kids along as a starting point. Saying that, we're going to have some fun in the meantime, though.
Would you like to see any changes with the way that people look at money post-COVID?
Look, I'd hope, like we mentioned, I'd hope that people are prepared to put a bit of money into events post-COVID. I'd like to see people really trying to encourage getting back together and having these event experiences. So some amazing sets and great theatre shows, and I'd hope that happens.
And can you finish the sentence, money makes dot, dot, dot?
Money makes it easier to make more money. I think that's probably the sum of it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Jeremy. It's been great to chat.
Thanks, Julia.
We've been talking to Jeremy Fleming, founder and CEO of Stage Kings. Please make sure to subscribe to Friends with Money wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and keep up to date with Money Magazine on social media.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au.